listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I'm RJ live on a Thursday and live from Las Vegas. 225 FSR stations broadcasting across this great, great nation. Might feel like a slow day. I don't think so. I think there's one story. You might think it's one of the big stories, one of them. No, it's the big story. I'm excited to get into it. And we're joined every day. This guy doesn't miss days. He is my favorite Joe. He's in Los Angeles, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have got promising news out of the NASCAR world, Major League Baseball trying to figure out what their plan of attack is as far as this season goes. What is the Vegas lead here on this Thursday?
Well, listen, what do we do with Straight Out of Vegas? It is two things. One, if you're a bettor, you listen for the money. If you're not a bettor, you're a fan, you listen to no more than your buddies. Well, both of them deliver here. The Las Vegas lead is Andy Dalton's release from Cincinnati. And what happens after this will affect the 2020 season, I think, in a major way.
Yeah, that was the news that came out earlier today. The Bengals releasing a longtime quarterback, Andy Dalton, earlier today, spent 9 years with the franchise.
All right, so the first question is, why no trade? Which is another way of saying, why didn't any team want to trade for Andy Dalton? And this is all about one thing, his contract. You look at his contract, it was almost $18 million. So everyone looked and said, do I want to give assets up as a team to pay Andy Dalton $18 million? And the market said, no, there's no interest. There's no market at that price. They figured each team with an interest in him, and I think there's multiple, we'd rather have him for a lot less. How much would the less be? Now, obviously, a team could have stepped up and said $18 million and you need us to trade. Okay, fine, Cincinnati. But everyone was betting, no one's going to want to do that. So now he's free. He's unencumbered. How much does it cost in draft capital and trade capital to get Andy Dalton? Nothing. You get him now if you can convince him to come play for you. How much money is it going to be? Jonas, tell me if you think this feels right. My guess is between $6 and $8 million. I would say it's right around Mariota's contract. What do you think?
Yeah, that feels about right. That seems like the right number.
So we're talking about upwards of $10 million or even more of difference between Andy Dalton plus what you would have had to trade for to get him, what you would have had to give up. So it makes sense. People said, let's see what happens, and here we are. But at this price, and let's just say $8 million, at $8 million, I believe that signing Andy Dalton is a winning move, and it would be a big deal for the team that did it. And to me, it's very similar to the seventh round of the draft versus undrafted free agents. So let's think about that a second. In the seventh round, anyone who's not drafted, so ultimately undrafted free agents, and we're seeing that now a bunch, 32 teams or so said, no thanks, seventh round, we got to give up a seventh round pick to get you, to lock you in, But then the minute the draft's over, the minute there is that group of undrafted free agents, it is a wooing. It is like bringing in a number one type player in the state to Ohio State or Texas. These teams in the NFL, Jonas, and I'm sure you've seen this, wouldn't you agree that it is a recruitment effort when they can get those undrafted free agents now for no draft choice, but rather just get them? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I've talked to people who've said that a lot of those conversations happen while the draft is still going on. If they contact a player they know they're not going to take and they feel like he could potentially be there as a free agent, those conversations are happening well beforehand. Don't worry, if you go undrafted, we'll bring you in.
And it's something that there is competition for those undrafted free agents. People are wooing them, and literally, when they had to pay a seventh round pick, it was no one wanted him. So it goes to show you, Andy Dalton for $18 million? No. Andy Dalton for $8 million? Hey, steak dinner on us. Let's talk about it. Now, how good is Andy Dalton? Because it's really the question. He's not $18 million good, but I think he's $8 million good and more. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And let's look backwards. And I know it's going backwards. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, how good is he today? But Andy Dalton, 3 Pro Bowls, 5 playoff appearances for the Bengals. Let's repeat, 5 for the Bengals. He's the all-time franchise leader in passing touchdowns over 200, fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives. Field Yates from ESPN had a nice list on this. Second, all-time passing yards. Hey, Carson Wentz, obviously Ken Anderson. I mean, it's not like there hasn't been any Bengals. This guy's had a really solid career. Now, the question is, what does he have left? I would make the case in 2018. And, Jonas, I want to get your perspective from the eyes of the fan. 2018, so not last year, but the year before, I would make the case that he was playing as well as he ever had the first half of the year. A.J. Green got hurt. Obviously, their tight end had been hurt for years. Eifert, who was key. And in the second half of the year, he really dropped off. Did he get old all of a sudden in the middle of the year? I don't think so. I think it was a matter of there's just so few weapons. And this year, another example, with a new coaching staff. I mean, I don't downgrade Andy Dalton all that much for what I've seen the end of 2018 and the half of 2019 that he played. I think he's pretty much where he was in his career, maybe a smidge down. He has gotten a little older, obviously, but I don't think he's reached that point yet. To me, it's more about his supporting cast hasn't been as good. What do you think?
I think he's immediately one of the better backups, in the NFL, borderline a starting quarterback in the right situation, and I think he could have success. And I think Ryan Tannehill was the blueprint a year ago. Before that, it was Nick Foles. That if you put them in a situation, those guys can thrive if it's the right situation for them, and you can get quality football out of them still.
So you were saying Nick Foles, and who was the other example?
Ryan Tannehill last year with Tennessee.
So now that's interesting. Tannehill right now and Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. He's on the show Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Steve has Tannehill as his 11th best quarterback. I think that's a little high, but let's say that's the range in the NFL. Is Tannehill clearly better, in your opinion, than Andy Dalton?
No, not clearly.
So you're saying potentially in the right spot that he's about as good as Tannehill, who just signed, what, a $70 million contract?
Yeah.
And the theory is you get him for 1 year for 8 is the theory. I think that's the edge of where I'm at, where I would say even if you think Andy Dalton, if he gets a normal good situation, could be the 16th, 17th best quarterback. I think that's where I'm at. So let's call that the range, right? You could say 11th is really optimistic. You could say, let's say 20th. Most people would think he's at least that good if he's in the right situation. And I'm going to go right in the middle. Okay. So this is interesting. So really effectively what you're saying is about half the teams in the NFL would improve their starting quarterback if they got Andy Dalton.
I would think teams would improve in the NFL. I don't know exactly what teams those would be. I would have to go down that list of teams.
Yeah, but about half is what, I mean, that's a major statement, I think.
Yeah,
I don't disagree with.
Yeah, I think he's a lot better than he's been given credit for. I think there was he took the Bengals to the postseason 5 years in a row. That's never happened in that franchise.
It probably will never happen again.
I know, and I think there was a lot of dysfunction, a lot of injuries. The Marvin Lewis tenure came to an end. Last year was a bit of a mess. It's why they turned back to him later in the season because they realized he was an upgrade over the quarterback play that they were getting.
Oh well, Finley was horrible.
Yeah,
but and it shows they were done with him and with Dalton. And I think that it probably somewhat affected the dynamic on the team. And that's another reason you could say let's not overly emphasize last year. But what's going to be interesting in a minute, we're going to look at a quarterback he could replace and we'll compare last year to this player's last year. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. So what team Who gets him? He's an asset. Who gets him? Many people say Andy Dalton's going to go to New England. I don't think so. And here's why. The best version that Andy Dalton is, that 15th, 14th best quarterback, probably isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. History tells us that middle-of-the-road guy isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. Belichick's trying to win Super Bowls. And I don't think it's obvious to Belichick, certainly not, that Andy Dalton's better than Stidham. So as a backup, as a veteran backup, I think that Belichick would love him. But you're not going to get him for that role. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm predicting. Now, I got a theory on this. Why do you think so?
Well, I think there's the ties to Jay Gruden. I think he played really well under Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden's now in Jacksonville as their offensive coordinator, and it feels like that's a good spot to where if Gardner Minshew doesn't perform to what they think he can perform to, then you've got a guy who doesn't bring any of the ego, none of the drama attached with it. He's going to be a good enough teammate and a good enough backup, a la Nick Foles, that you bring him in, and he can step right in and play Jay Gruden's system.
Well, you just said something that I hadn't even thought of, which is if he comes in to compete with Minshew and doesn't get it, he's not going to be disruptive.
No.
Andy Dalton is not going to be disruptive. And I think another reason I like this, that the Jay Gruden thing is gigantic. A lot of success there. They're familiar with each other when Jay Gruden OC at Cincinnati for years. And then finally, Jacksonville has been strangely inactive when it comes to quarterbacks. It doesn't seem like they're really looking at anyone. It seems like they have an irrational confidence in the stash, in Minshew. And let's talk about Andy Dalton and Minshew. Last year, we would say Andy Dalton had a career worst year, blah, blah, blah. He was 26 and 27 in QBR was Andy Dalton and Minshew. So what we're saying here is a guy that's supposedly having his worst year ever, and I think he probably did, versus a guy who got to go through some offenses the first time, and we've seen this time and time again. A young quarterback, he hasn't played yet. They don't have tape on him. He plays pretty well a couple games. You might remember all those accidental starters last year. I think they started out like 14-0 against the spread, like over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How many of them were even playing at the end of the year? Not hardly any. Minshew came back. So to me, when you got a guy that had the advantage of those first games where no one knew his style, his limitations, especially when you're a sixth-round pick, you've got limitations, and you end up, there's only four or five people worse than you in QBR. I don't see that Minshew is anything but a very long-shotty type starter, maybe one day. The idea you're going to give the franchise to him, it makes no sense to me. And it really makes me think Jacksonville has been waiting for Dalton. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think that Doug Marrone and his situation, there's a lot of people surprised that he's even back with Jacksonville to begin with. The fact that he was brought back, I think it's safe to say this is most likely his last chance to try and save his job. And I don't think he's totally comfortable going into the season with Gardner Minshew, who was very up and down last season in a brand new offense under Jay Gruden, and not having a fail-safe plan in place in case they get off to an 0-2 or 0-3 start. That's why Andy Dalton makes a lot of sense.
See, I think it's bigger than that. I think if Dalton signs, I would bet him to be the favorite to play more games. If you said, hey, who's going to start more games in 2020, even if Minshew gets the first crack at it, I'd take Dalton. What would you do?
No, I would take Dalton.
All right. Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're one of the teams rumored to be a potential landing spot for quarterback Andy Dalton following his release from the Cincinnati Bengals earlier today. We talked about that earlier. Another big decision for Jacksonville involves their starting running back, Leonard Fournette, and whether or not to pick up his fifth-year rookie option.
Boy, this just goes to show you how much the NFL media, the NFL decision makers, have changed in just the last 10 years. Because if I told you You've got a highly drafted running back, right? Literally the fourth pick in the 2017 draft, Leonard Fournette. And I told you last year he had career highs in rushing yards, receptions, reception yards, yards from scrimmage, and he's entering his fourth year. So his third year of three so far, career highs and all that, you'd be thinking, wow, that's going well. And especially if the career highs are rushing 1,152 yards. Receptions, 76. Think about that now. I mean, it's like almost 100 receptions.
Yeah.
And he had 522 receiving yards. And so his yards from the line of scrimmage was almost 1,700 for net just last year. But the conversation is, does anyone even want to trade for him? And his contract, let's be clear, next year it's set. It's his fourth year. Is only $4.1 million. Why no trade market?
I mean, he's a tough one to figure out. I wonder if people worry about the wear and tear on him, if he's really a guy who they feel like maybe peaked, and maybe a lot of his totals last year were in garbage time when games.
But when you don't win, running backs get in garbage time when you don't win a lot of games?
Yeah, I think he came in. I actually think he suffers a little bit from the hype from college, to where when he came out of college, when he was at LSU, he was so good and so much better than everybody else that people look at his career as being maybe a little bit of a disappointment to start off with, when the reality is he has put up some numbers. He was a big part of the reason why they were in an AFC title game and 5 minutes away from a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I think he's been a little bit better than probably people anticipate, but I think the wear and tear is probably the number one factor.
Now, it could be this, and I'm not saying it is, but what I would say is Fournette, I think it's back to this vague sense of an attitude problem. You know, just wouldn't you say in general, because he's saying things, hey, Cam Newton maybe should be. It just feels like he's a disruption. And I can't put my finger, and I'm going to ask you, on anything you would say, hey, if he was going to date your daughter, here's why you would really have a problem with it. Can you point your finger at anything in particular?
I can't. I mean, he's had a couple of public Twitter spats with Jamal Adams.
Who hasn't?
With a former teammate of his at LSU. So there was that. The saying, you know, and appreciate the honesty that he was honest enough to say, yeah, I would welcome in Cam Newton. Nothing against Gardner Minshew, but Cam Newton's a former MVP and he knows him well. So he was honest about it. But probably not the best thing you want from a teammate entering year two for a quarterback, I would say.
I don't think that's him purposely trying to be disruptive. It's him maybe not thinking the next move through in regards to how people are going to take it. But if that is what you're pointing at, I don't want him dating my – that's going to be the new threshold here, is would you want the guy dating your daughter? And if no, why would you want him as a teammate?
Well, it depends on if they pick up his option or not. If there's a financial benefit.
That's pretty good there, right? If your love of your daughter is for sale, yes, you're right. I guess I'm the innocent one here, which is kind of sad, Jonas. I can't lie.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Will the Bears get it right? Because really, it's $24 million. So let me ask you, do you pay $24 million to have Trubisky in 2021? So not next season, but the season after. They got to decide by Sunday. And here's the – I know it's easy to say no. But if you say no now, you probably don't play him in – this year too much. You try to go with Foles I've never seen a guy not get a 50-year option then sign with that same team. So that means you're saying goodbye to your number two pick in the draft. Do you have one more year where you want to see from him? But to have that year, this upcoming year, you got to pay for the next year. What do you do?
I would decline his fifth-year option.
Mm.
And if for whatever reason he's called upon this year and he plays well, then I would strongly consider franchising him and putting the tag on him the year after.
Which means you're paying him even more.
But it's worth another year, and knowing that I can turn the page if need be. And if he surprises me, then that's a good problem to have.
But will you then at that point assume Foles is going to be your starter?
If by declining the option?
Yes.
No, I would keep it open. I would keep the competition open, and then I think ultimately Foles will win the job, although with a shorter offseason, who knows, Trubisky might have a serious advantage going into the season.
Boy, you're right. Now, you bring up some real complexity there. Have you ever seen that happen, though? A team renounce the fifth year and then retain them in
a
year?
No, I don't think so.
So, I mean, there must be something about the psychology of that that doesn't lend to it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.